And it is 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. You've got it on KHUM, and our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign continues. This week, the topic is youth who are vulnerable and people who can help. And we've got a whole room full of folks from the Raven Project. So we'll kind of go around the room and get introduced. Brandy, you are the program coordinator. This is Brandy Asher. Just introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm the program coordinator at RCAA's Youth Service Bureau Raven Project.
Hi, I'm Randy. I'm a street outreach worker at Raven.
Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm a youth educator at the Raven Project.
Fantastic. Well, thanks all for coming in. Really appreciate that. And I guess the first thing we need to do is, tell the people what the Raven Project is.
Sounds good. So the Raven Project is a youth-led street outreach program. There's two main components. We have a drop-in center in Eureka at 523 T Street, and we're open 6 days a week, and youth who are ages 10 to 21 can come in and access our drop-in services, which include health and hygiene supplies. We have a room with free clothes for the kids, and then we also have showers and laundry and food for them every day, as well as youth educators that they can talk to, some peer counseling, and also they can get referrals for different services in the area. We also help with accessing other services like CalFresh and Medi-Cal, and helping get kids to appointments. And then another main part of our program is street outreach, which I'll let Randy talk about a little.
During street outreach, we try to go out into the streets and figure out where the youth are hanging out to try to get a hold of them, tell them about the services we offer, and then try to hook them up with other services if they're interested. It's usually me and a youth educator. We'll go out. We'll go to Eureka and Arcata several times a week. And then we also go up to Trinidad, McKinleyville, and down to Garberville. And then we try to make it out to Willow Creek and Hoopa as much as we can. On outreach, we give out basic survival supplies, food, dog food, which is really important because a lot of the kids that we run into have animals, which is good for them for support. The hygiene stuff we give out, we have like shampoo, razors, soap, conditioner, lotion. We have first aid kits. We also give out safer sex supplies, condoms, things like that.
So, yeah, youth, you do your street outreach. So, do you find that most youth come to you, or do you have to find them?
Pretty much we have to find them. Sometimes they'll see a flyer. We hang out flyers as much as we can around town, and they'll see that and come there. But typically we find them and then tell them about what we offer.
Okay. And Jamie, you are a youth educator. So you, as a young person, speak to them about the services? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I'm there during drop-in hours, and I also do the street outreach. I'm just there for, like, peer support. So it's not, like, a lot of pressure with a lot of adults or whatever. It's more relatable, I feel like. I'm just there to help out the youth my age.
Great.
One of the amazing, unique parts of our program is that we're able to hire mostly from the population. So a lot of the youth educators are previous clients or people who have come in that we found on outreach, and they come into our space and they find it to be a really safe and welcoming space. So they want to continue to be a part of it. So then we're able to hire them for 15 hours a week, and they come in and basically run the entire center and provide peer support and learn about the services in the area so that they can give out referrals. And I find that it's an amazing opportunity for youth to come in and connect with people who are their own age and who've been in similar circumstances. So it ends up being really beneficial for both clients and staff.
So obviously the your clientele, their home situation generally isn't terrific. When you're, if you're in need of Raven services, I assume that the home life is not supportive or even there sometimes.
For a lot of our youth, that is true. But we're an open space for any youth. I mean, being 10 to 21 is a hard age for anyone. Mm-hmm. So we try to make it a safe, open space for people who may not have the best home life, or for people who just need another support system, someone they can relate to. We do have also groups that we do that are open to everyone. We do a girl space for girls to just come and talk with other women about what it's like growing up, or to just hang out and do art. We also have a queer coffee house. So we have a lot of different spaces for people regardless of where they're coming from. We do find that people who are accessing like laundry and showers are living on the streets and don't necessarily have that family support or a home support.
So, you know, I've, you know, having raised two boys, I had my oldest now living on his own in New York, but a good friend of his, when he was going to Eureka High, utilized your services and really saved his butt, because right? he was having some issues. Well, he had a terrible home life, and was just pretty much living what he could, mm-hmm. and you guys really helped him out. Helped him stay in school. Get some of his needs taken care of. What do you do with youth who maybe have a really bad home life and maybe need to become emancipated? Do you help navigate through that process?
We can help with that process. We have the paperwork, and we're willing to help youth do that. I don't find that we have a lot of youth that are asking for that, mm-hmm. though.
No.
It's been a long time, yeah. Most youth, I mean, they're afraid sometimes to even tell us their name. That's why they come to Raven, because we are confidential. And that's also part of the reason that we find them primarily. We need to go out and look for youth and invite them to come to us, because these youth aren't actively always seeking out services because they don't want to share their names, or they're afraid that their parents may be called, which they may not want if they're in an abusive home situation, for instance.
So let's talk about that. Let's just say they are in an abusive home situation and they are afraid of that exact thing. Speak to that.
Well, I mean, that's mainly what we do. We have a space where they can come and get what they need and become grounded, and we can assist them in getting maybe some different housing, or start to build those relationships of trust so that they can begin to trust service providers, and then move forward with, say, the emancipation process or anything else that they might need. We have a lot of youth that have been in foster care or are going to be in foster care. So a lot of what we do is just provide basic survival supplies and then start to build that relationship so that we can get them the help they need to move forward.
And you don't need to contact their parents or foster parents?
They can come in and use our services without giving us their name. They don't have to tell us any personal information. We don't have to see identification. And that's kind of the unique, amazing thing about what we do. And then we have the youth educators who are there so that they have someone who feels comfortable to talk to. They're not just seeing, someone behind a desk filling out paperwork. That can be very intimidating. It's more of like a home atmosphere where they can hang out and drink some coffee and play a video game and talk to their friends, and then start to get what they need to start feeling ready to take the next step, because I feel like there's a lot of pressure on kids to move forward, and they have to focus on school, and they need to, which all these things are really important, but before we focus on moving forward, they need their basic needs met. So
Randy, when you were doing street outreach, what kind of resistance do you run into?
I guess at first, before people know who we are, they're pretty skeptical. They wonder why we're walking around in their space and coming up and talking to them. But then they're pretty receptive to getting the stuff. They're kind of hesitant at first to actually want to come to Raven. They have to see us several times before they actually know who we are and what we're doing.
Do you find that because you're dealing with youth who have limited life experience, that they really don't know you know, what their needs might be, or what situation they're in, or what's actually available to them.
I guess a lot of them are pretty distrusting of services, which mm-hmm. is a nice thing at Raven, where, like, if people come there, we don't ask them any questions, and once they start feeling safe and want to start sharing with us, then they can start sharing, and then we can start figuring out what their needs are, because they probably don't know what their needs are. Because, like, if you're living in a day-to-day struggle to survive, like, you don't know what your needs are. You know what they are from the moment to moment, but not beyond that.
And, Jamie, you, as being the youth educator, I assume having someone like you along, you know, actually helps with the trust.
Yeah, I think it feels like not so much pressure to have to be professional if there's not just an adult coming close to everyone. Seems like when people see people that are like look like them or look like they can relate to them, it's a lot easier to open up and like be more trusting of them. So, yeah.
And how long have you been doing this with Raven?
I've been working there for like 4 months, mm-hmm. but I was a client there before I started working there. So I've been coming off and on for like 2 years almost.
Wow. So, that's gotta be terrific because kind of come full circle, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. It was really cool to be able to work somewhere that really helped me out because it's like, I feel like I've learned a lot since I've worked there and it's really nice to help people that I've been in similar situations with. It's a really great learning experience.
And having been a previous client, you know where the distrust is. You know what's going through these kids' minds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is terrific. That is terrific. So, how long has Raven been around? I know we talked about this a little bit off air, but how long has the Raven Project been around?
1994. So quite a long time.
Fantastic. And where are you located?
We are at 523 T Street.
It's in Eureka?
Yes, in Eureka.
Yes. Yes, we have to mention that because yes. A lot of towns have lettered streets.
Yes. 523 T Street in Eureka. We have drop-in hours on Monday from 5 to 9, Tuesday from 10 to 1, Wednesday from 1 to 5, Thursday from 10 to 1, Friday from 1 to 4, and then Sunday from 1 to 5. So our hours are kind of all over the place so that people can access us at different times. So.
Terrific. So obviously, you know, you deal with kids that are having having issues or may not even have a home. What about, you were saying you're open to basically all kids, you know, from ages, 10 to, mm-hmm. to 21. Folks who are living at home, what kind of services do they seek from Raven?
Well, let's see. A lot of what I see kids who are coming from is just a place to be. I mean, we have youth educators who are still living at home. It's something to do when they're not in school. It's job experience. It's being involved in their community, access to different opportunities to work with other organizations. It's just a place to hang out and find a sense of family. And friends. That seems to be a lot of what it is. And also, what would you guys say?
Well, I guess it's a space where youth can come and just kind of express themselves without, like,
mm-hmm.
like we're not telling them what to do or telling them how to act or, like, I don't know, as long mm-hmm. as they're being, like, appropriate to not offending other people. Besides from that, they can be who they are.
Mm-hmm. So, how many clients do you deal with at a time, generally?
Well, lately we've been really busy. So a drop-in is usually 1 to 3 to 4 hours, and we've been seeing about 30 people a day. So it's been pretty busy, and it kind of goes in waves. Sometimes we'll be slower. Sometimes there'll be lots of people. It's starting to get rainy, so a lot of people are looking to be inside a little bit more and looking for some extra support in terms of supplies like sleeping bags and clean socks. So we're seeing more people looking for those types of things.
So generally, you know, with the various different issues that youth can be dealing with, and they're varied. again, the lack of life experience can be tough navigating the system. There's just so many different things that, depending on whatever the situation is, that they need to, different organizations that they need to talk with, and just navigating that as an adult is tough.
Yeah.
But, when you've never dealt with it before, it can be really, really daunting. Do you help navigate to these kids through the system?
We do, and we help take them to appointments. We kind of walk them through what's available, and I mean, we're not pushy, but we let them know what's out there and kind of help them navigate their way through it. And I would say they actually come with a lot of life experience. I've seen some amazing, amazing kids who
had to learn at a very young age.
Yeah, that stuff. Yeah, they know exactly what situation they're in. They've seen other people in their family or their friends go through navigating these same systems, which I think is where a lot of the difficulty comes from, because they know how challenging it can be. And sometimes when you're looking to just get your daily needs met, you might be, say, looking for food one day, but it doesn't occur to you to go and apply for food stamps, not because you don't know that service is available, but because you're focused on that day. And without someone to help you go through the process and actually, you know, take you down to the office to apply for that service, it can be really challenging. Transportation is a huge challenge. And just kind of having a printer to print out the applications. It's really basic things that make it challenging for some of these youth to access the services. So they know they're there, and they are really intelligent and know how to navigate their way through, and are, you know, pretty courageous and gutsy, and do what they need to do. But it's just little things. So that's kind of where we step in and kind of help get them where they need to be, things like that. So
in doing these conversations over the years, certain things have come up several times. Like when youth are out on their own, it can open the door to people taking advantage of them, mm-hmm. and abuse. Have you seen that kind of thing?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I think a lot of what leads to youth putting them in a situation where they can be taken advantage of is seeking basic survival, needing a place to stay, or, you know, needing someone to help them out, and not knowing who's safe, or knowing someone may not be the safest, but trying to weigh their options and figuring out which option's better. Do I risk it to get what I need, that this person might harm me, or do I just not seek out what I need? So it's kind of a risk-taking all of the time.
There can be situations that are almost akin to slavery that can, you know, take place where it's almost an assumed, quid pro quo. If, you know, if mm-hmm. we give you shelter and give you food, then you owe me this or what have you. I've seen over the years that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Have you dealt with that as well?
I mean, I've heard stories and I've seen people who are in that situation, which is why we focus so much on providing basic supplies so that they can get it from a safe place. They can get access to food and clothing and sometimes shelter. We do have a youth shelter through YSB. If anyone's interested, it's 444-CARE. You can call that number. And I think that a lot of these youth are just looking for somewhere safe to be. So we do see that and try to kind of navigate that and help out as well. Do you have any thoughts on that, Jamie?
We do have, like, a lot of services we can, like, direct people towards, like, crisis numbers and things if they need other people to talk to, more support for, like, when we're closed. We can give them, like, numbers or pamphlets or whatever, like, abuse hotlines or whatever if they need someone to talk to all the time. I think that's pretty helpful for people in those kind of situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And for, you know, someone who is perhaps listening to this, maybe who is in a situation where they could use some help, what's the direct number to get a hold of you guys?
443-7099.
Right there on the sweatshirt.
Yep.
Fantastic.
You can call anytime. leave a message, or you can just come by during our drop-in hours, or we'll see you on Outreach in Eureka or Arcata. We drive a big black van that says the Raven Project on it, so anytime you see Randy and Jamie driving around, feel free to say hi, and come check us out. We provide services, yes, but we're also really fun. We have a lot of fun hanging out at Raven, so if you're curious, just come by.
Fantastic. So we're just about out of time, but I want to give you each just a chance to say anything that maybe we haven't yet. Any last words?
I guess all I can think of is donations. A lot of what we are able to give out is donation-based. If anyone has jackets, sleeping bags, tents, warm clothes, shoes, backpacks, like, be really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Jamie, do you have anything you want to add?
I think that people that are listening, if you need to come in, don't be afraid. We're awesome. Just come in and hang out with us at least once.
Fantastic. And Brandy, I'll give you the final word there.
I just want to say thank you for letting us come on and talk about Raven Project, and tell you guys the phone number again, 443-7099. And please come check out our drop-in hours. We're an awesome, safe space, and we've got groups and food and a garden in the back that you can come hang out in, and we like to laugh a lot. And if you need anything, any resources, any help getting someplace, or just someone to talk to, then feel free to come in.
Fantastic. Thank you all for coming in. Really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign will wrap up tomorrow with our healing breakfast. This is going to be starting at 8 o'clock at the Eureka Women's Club, which is at 1531 J Street. And it's free and open to the public. There will be free pastries from our good friends at Velatini Baking Company, signature coffee, live music with Lindsay Battle. We've got a keynote address from incoming District Attorney Maggie Fleming. We'll have a panel discussion and resource tables from all kinds of folks. Just about every organization on the front lines of helping here in this community will be there as well. So stop on by. As I say, it's absolutely free. It goes from 8 until 10 tomorrow morning at the Eureka Women's Club.